Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers.
And I would point out, ladies and gentlemen, that I think our producer, Ron Carlson, has completely lost it. You ought to see him right now. This is one of those rare moments when we should have video.
Oh, no, we don't want
to. I guess I can't really see what he's doing.
I don't know what set him off.
The computer monitor's like blocking.
I don't know what set him off, but he was completely losing it when the show, right at the beginning when the music started. I don't know. What's so funny, Ron?
I don't know. I just don't feel well. Sorry.
So you laugh you
laugh until the tears roll down your face,
it was,
or what?
It was interesting. You said, to get things started, let's rock. And usually it's you're rolling, you're not rocking, you know, because the tape reels roll, they don't rock. And so I was thinking, that was quite interesting application there of that terminology as you know, related to recording and doing all those other kind of things that we're doing right now, and I'm really wasting a lot of your time.
Okay.
I don't really know how to respond to all that, Ron.
Well, we learned.
This is why I don't talk much.
Oh, man. Life is too complicated.
Briefing today?
Well, yes. Today, as in... when the show airs, you're right. Yeah, folks, putting these things together, it may not seem like it's all that tough, but it definitely can stress you out. And in the middle of all this, we've got work issues, and this is just way too much stress for an old guy like me,
and even me.
Yeah.
You know,
even
like
you,
about
huh?
a decade
even
behind you.
You. Like, even you.
Yes, huh? Even me. Even me. Well, Trump.
What? We're going to talk about him again?
Oh, my goodness.
He makes it impossible for us not to. I wish that this actually came out a little bit earlier so we could have talked about this last week. Now it's a week old, but I still feel like we have to address it. After we finished recording last week, video was released about Donald Trump engaging in some lewd conversation with Billy Bash. Is that his name?
Billy Bush. It was one of those hot mic moments.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was part of, he was on a show, Equal Access Hollywood or something like that. And it was recorded. And some of the things that he said, I can't repeat because we're a Christian station. Even though I do want to caution you, we're going to listen to some audio that if you have small children in the room, probably turn off the radio or just have them, you know, go somewhere else. But there's going to be some adult conversation. I think
we are still going to try to have some sort of decorum here. Okay.
Right. But
you're not going to hear all kinds of terrible, dreadful, nasty, pornographic stuff. All right.
But if you want to avoid getting some questions from your child, it may not be the best time to have them in the room or have the show on. So, anyway, this came out. He basically described going up and kissing and groping women without permission. And a lot of people are saying he's bragging about sexual assault. And he offers an apology and
clip eight.
Clip eight, please.
Sure.
I've never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. I've traveled the country talking about change for America, but my travels have also changed me. I've spent time with grieving mothers who've lost their children, laid off workers whose jobs have gone to other countries, and people from all walks of life who just want a better future. I have gotten to know the great people of our country, and I've been humbled by the faith they placed in me. I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and will never, ever let you down. Let's be honest. We're living in the real world. This is nothing more than a distraction from the important issues we're facing today. We're losing our jobs, we're less safe than we were 8 years ago, and Washington is totally broken. Hillary Clinton and her kind have run our country into the ground. I've said some foolish things, but there's a big difference between the words and actions of other people. Bill Clinton has actually abused women, and Hillary has bullied, attacked, shamed, and intimidated his victims. We will discuss this more in the coming days. See you at the debate on Sunday.
Look, politically, that was very well done. Politically speaking.
I think it would have been better if he just ended it instead of the turning, but let's be real.
That's the way it's done in politics, though.
I understand that.
That's what you do. You turn on a dime.
But it just makes it just like, but hey, look, it's really not that bad. That's mm-hmm. kind of what I heard, which that kind
but
of
that's standard. That's standard operating procedure. And
I know. Yeah. This is why politicians suck at apologies. They don't. It's true.
Oh dear.
Because that just kind of negated what he just said as far as an apology. You know, and when he said too that this does not reflect me, it's like to you maybe. See, when this was released, I was not surprised at all.
No.
Knowing his history.
That's probably the worst thing that he said there in terms of believability. He's talking about this 11-year-old video. Look, I don't know of anyone who has said that Donald Trump has undergone this grand transformation of character in the last decade. Do you?
Oh, Paula White. Paula White says, you know,
with credibility.
Yeah.
Nobody's running around saying he's a different person than he was a decade ago.
Right.
This reflected exactly who he is.
Right. And he mentioned the phrase locker room talk, which I want to get back to if we have time.
Okay.
Let's play a couple. Then we got the debate that happened, which to Donald Trump's. It was a much better debate for him than the first debate was.
Agreed.
I'm not sure, based on what's going on outside of the debate, I don't think the debate's going to actually help him, though. But I think he did what he needed. You know, he put Hillary Clinton on the defensive, which I think is what he needed to do. But again, I from the polling I've seen, I don't think he's going to get a boost from... Because really, I think...
No, but what he did is he stopped the bleeding. He put her on her heels and kept his guys
right
in his camp.
Right.
And that's
exactly true. But as far as convincing, you know, undecided voters, mm-hmm. I don't think either of them probably did what they needed to do to do that.
This video, this close to the election day... is devastating.
It is.
It just is.
It is.
And it wouldn't really matter who the candidate is. This would hurt them.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But somebody, if it was anybody other than Trump, I mean, they would really be toast. It's true. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about...
Is that what this is?
Yes. We're talking about Donald Trump, and let's go ahead and...
Do that.
Yeah. Let's play clip one from the debate.
We received a lot of questions online, Mr. Trump, about the tape that was released on Friday.
I'm
shocked.
As you
can imagine, you called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You bragged that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it. But this is locker room talk. You know, when we have a world where you have ISIS chopping off heads, where you have, and frankly, drowning people in steel cages, where you have wars and horrible, horrible sights all over, where you have so many bad things happening. This is like medieval times. We haven't seen anything like this, the carnage all over the world. And they look and they see. Can you imagine the people that are, frankly, doing so well against us?
Somebody get this
with
guy
ISIS,
decongested.
And they look at our country and they see what's going on. Yes, I'm very embarrassed by it.
A box of Kleenexes.
I hate it, but it's locker room talk, and it's one of those things.
Well, he can sure sniff, can't he?
Yes, he can. Clinton responds. Go and play clip two.
Donald Trump is different. I said starting back in June that he was not fit to be president and commander in chief. And many Republicans and independents have said the same thing. What we all saw and heard on Friday was Donald talking about women, what he thinks about women, what he does to women. And he has said that the video doesn't represent who he is. But I think it's clear to anyone who heard it that it represents exactly who he is. Because we've seen this throughout the campaign. We have seen him insult women. We've seen him rate women on their appearance, ranking them from 1 to 10.
We can go ahead. And
we've seen him embarrass women.
Anyway, she just kind of recounts, you know, everything we already know about Donald Trump and everything he's done through the course of the primaries and before. Trump then hits, and we don't think we have time. I want to get into some other things, so I don't think we're going to have time to play the other clips here. But, you know, Trump then says, well, what about Bill Clinton? And, he, you know, he's been accused of rape, and he had a settlement, and you defended this, and you bragged about getting a sexual offender off when you were attorney. You know, I think that kind of, I have to tell you, this had to have been the most uncomfortable debate I've ever watched.
Oh, yeah. There were moments that were extremely uncomfortable.
Right. And just, I wish they had just the camera on Bill Clinton as he was saying all this.
Oh, man. The still photos of him, he looked like he was just the side of calling for an EMT to resuscitate him.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Look, let's say what you will about Trump. It's true. The Clintons have absolutely no room to speak about this particular
issue. Absolutely true. Absolutely right. We
None.
Do, though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we do.
Sure. But her best political move relative to all this is to just shut up.
Right.
The media will do the work for her, but she can't talk about this. At the very least, she was an enabler to her philandering husband.
Right.
At worst, she helped throw his victims under the bus.
True.
There is no moral high ground for her on this issue.
Absolutely
Zip,
true.
Zero, nada.
Absolutely true. Well, he was asked, Donald Trump was asked by Anderson Cooper if he ever did any of these things, and Trump said no during the debate. And wouldn't you know it, that suddenly this week there's been several allegations made.
Whoops.
Yeah, shocking. Okay, yes, the timing is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's politics, folks. It's politics. This is what happens. It happened to Bill Clinton too. And here's the thing: I want us to. We should not respond as liberals did when Bill Clinton was accused, because we now know that these accusations were maybe not every single one of them, but a lot of them were true. Two women have come forward to the New York Times. One claims he touched her inappropriately in the 70s while, you know, on an airplane, which is okay. Another person said that he, in an elevator, in Trump Tower, he kissed her. Then a writer for People magazine said she was basically, you know, he tried to force himself on her as well by kissing her and saying, yeah, you and I are going to have an affair. Mm-hmm. This is just after, I think this is like 2 weeks after he got married. Then he's been accused of looking up model skirts. And this, I don't know if anything else would landed today. This is just what I saw last night.
Well, and you'll see more and more
stuff
come out of the woodwork.
Because
some of it will be probably pretty, what would be the word? It would probably make sense to believe it.
Right.
And there'll be some of it, too, that'll just be more mud thrown on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll get both of that.
So
for those things.
Here's the thing. I don't feel sorry for Donald Trump. Because, you know, he floated accusations against Ted Cruz.
From
a National Enquirer story where none of the alleged people he was having an affair with actually spoke up. These are women saying, I was assaulted by, you know, or inappropriately touched, or he made a move on me. These are women saying this.
But that's a great point, Shane. I mean, during the primaries, Donald Trump came up with all sorts of absolutely absurd nonsense and made these accusations against people left and right, Cruz in particular down the stretch.
Yep.
Absolutely. He blasted him with all sorts of what appear to be completely untruthful accusations. Again, how can you feel sorry for a guy when the gun gets turned on him?
Yeah, I don't. And I'm sorry. I have a hard time believing that all of this is false.
Sure. Well, we have a tendency,
especially since what he described on that videotape.
Well, we have a tendency to say where there's smoke, there's fire.
Absolutely.
And that's not a bad impulse in every circumstance.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm very World Magazine, very happy with their editorial. Basically, they wrote an op-ed saying he was an editorial board said he's unfit for power. Christianity Today wrote an editorial. The editor wrote an editorial saying, hey, speak truth to Trump, and both saying he was unfit for to be president. And I just would like to encourage evangelicals everywhere that, okay, if you decide you're going to quietly vote for Trump, I get it. But keep in mind, cheerleading for him, especially when these things are being hurled at him and he has this kind of a background, at some point, the witness of the church has to be more important than the presidential election.
We're not doing ourselves any favors when we become utter cheerleaders for a guy with this kind of reputation.
Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Radio Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029 and he can help you find the life insurance
you need. This morning we have with us on our, I guess, our VIP line. Is that what we call it? Our VIP line.
Yeah, when we think of it, we call it our VIP.
Right.
Definitely a VIP line today.
It's just a phone.
We have with us Reverend Michael Erickson, and Mike's been pastor of Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston since 2001. Prior to that, he served in the Presbyterian Church of America. He holds degrees in philosophy and theology from Covenant College, Baylor University, and Reformed Theological Seminary, and he will be speaking as a panelist at the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing, which, if you're hearing us at during the 8 o'clock hour, there's still time for you to run over to Johnston and be a part of the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing, which will begin at 10 o'clock. So in any case, Mike will be speaking to the issue of worldview as a panelist, something that he's very passionate about and has done some extensive writing about. Full disclosure, he's my pastor.
I was going to say, so you could pray for Mike.
Don't hold that against him. Anyway, Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure and honor.
Honor? Boy, listen to that.
Yeah, I'm sucking up.
It's working. Mike, let's just talk a little bit about some of these questions relative to the discussion you're going to be a part of tomorrow. When we speak of a worldview, exactly what is it that we're talking about? And what does it mean to have a biblical worldview?
Well, a worldview, and you know, everyone you talk to, everyone has one, whether they acknowledge it or understand it or not. But basically, it entails person's thoughts, perspectives, beliefs, ideas about three main areas. The first would be what exists, or being, or ontology. In other words, does this person believe there is a God? What is that God like? What's the nature of creation? What's the nature of man? So, you know, things, what exists. Second main component will be centered around knowledge or truth, or as Pontius Pilate asked our Lord so long ago, what is truth? Can we know it? And can we defend it then, which gets you in the area of apologetics. And the third main area will have to do with value or values, which also encompasses ethics. Is there a right and wrong? What's the nature of evil? What's the nature of good? What's the source of good? Everyone has beliefs, ideas, or perspectives in all these three areas, and it affects everything they think and do. And when we talk about a biblical worldview, basically, are all of these areas, or all of my thoughts, are they guided by that revelation in the scripture, specifically about God, about creation, about man, about what is true, how we may know that, and ethics and values, and so on. So a biblical worldview would be one that is developed in correlation or from the revelation from God. So sort of a nutshell.
Okay, you mentioned ethics amongst other things there in your discussion of these three main areas. How do you respond when somebody asks what morality is and where it comes from? In other words, can it be developed apart from Scripture? Where would ethics come from without Scripture?
Right. There's even a number of Presbyterians or so-called or reformed folks today that are saying ethics, as far as right and wrong and various values for the common man, for the general public, are not to be derived from Scripture for them as well. I'd point out that ever before there was sin in the world, Adam needed special revelation to understand the world, understand what he was to do, and so Scripture, or the revelation from God, is necessary, even in spite of sin, and now because of sin, all the more. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's fuller. Plus, it's standard Reformed thought for centuries that the summary of the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, is also the moral law of nature. Now, Catholics and Lutherans sometimes have a different view of that, but that natural law cannot be understood properly apart from the revelation from God, special revelation, as I pointed out with Adam in the garden.
Reverend Erickson, that natural law, however, is enough to condemn us, correct?
It's enough to condemn us. It's also enough to give us a knowledge of God, mm-hmm. with the first commandment, and a general knowledge of ethics, albeit because of the fall,
right?
It's all twisted and distorted.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking of Romans 1, where you know, mm-hmm. what we should have, what was evident was made plain to us. And then there's obviously a digression that occurs throughout the chapter where they mm-hmm. were just given over to different desires. And it just seems like, you know, their minds and their hearts just closed off to more and more and more and more to natural law.
Absolutely. And there are many today, so-called evangelicals, who are trying to argue that that natural law is all that man needs, and you can't bring the Bible into it. But again, I'd point out, man, even in a state of innocency, could not understand fully or properly
right.
even these laws of nature.
So, as a general rule, where when we look at civil law, as a general rule, where were civil laws derived from in Western civilization, historically speaking?
Well, by and large, both from nature and scripture, it's almost impossible to divorce those two, you know, in the history, my understanding, of Western civilization. And so, I mean, English common law, it's very much influenced by the scripture and the Christian heritage in that regard.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Reverend Mike Erickson from Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnson, also going to be a panelist that if you haven't... If you're not with us, if you're listening to this 8 o'clock hour, you can still
there's get, still time. Get
you can
over
still
to
still get over to the Johnson Lions Club. We start at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you. We are doing at the door registration. So anyway, he's a panelist. So yeah, Brian had another question.
Oh yeah, I got a couple more here. So how would you respond? You mentioned this earlier, Mike, but to those who suggest that religion is purely a private matter. What would be the salient points of your argument against that notion?
Well, religion encompasses everything. It just as you know, mentioned with worldview, what exists, what is true, what is right. It's impossible to make religion a purely private matter. Now, as I know you agree, 100%, it is a matter of the heart. Heart religion, you know, and that experience of faith, but it is also a fully public matter. You cannot divorce the two. In the courthouse in Polk County, up on the rotunda, there's a quote by somewhat of a deist 100 years ago, but stating that the basis of law is morality, and morality has its basis in religion. You cannot divorce those two. And when you try to, as our current culture does, you end up with no morality and no proper law.
There are those today, and I know you're aware of this, within the Reformed and Presbyterian tradition, that are making a hard and fast distinction between the civil kingdom or the common kingdom or whatever you might want to call it and the spiritual kingdom. For example, Michael Horton is one of the more well-known proponents of this idea. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, many of them try to rewrite all of Reformed, Continental thought, Puritan thought, Presbyterian thought, on down the line. That is not the proper understanding. Every Reformed theologian I know of state clearly that the kingdom of power or of providence, the whole natural civil realm, has been given over to the God-man, to Jesus Christ. And you can't separate those in that fashion, those two kingdoms. They're separate as far as jurisdiction, the mm-hmm. church, so on and so forth, but you cannot separate God from his kingdom of power, or special revelation from that kingdom of power, or now, Jesus Christ. I mean, Charles Hodge, which no one has accused him of being an extreme covenanter, clearly says that it is agreed on common theology that all power in the kingdom of providence has been given over to the Theanthropos, the God-man, Jesus Christ.
Well, you look at, I think, a proper understanding of Romans 13, you see that God's still very much involved in civil, the civil realm, that he instituted government, that, you know, we're going to have an election coming up. I try to tell people, it's like, God's not going to be surprised by who's elected, you know, and we're either going to get the person we need or we get the person we deserve.
I think this go around, it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, I think judgment's coming, but he's involved. Obviously we don't. They're not together to the point where we obviously don't have a theocracy. But God's, you know, there's definitely involvement, and then there's. I'm not as familiar with this particular argument within the Reformed tradition as Brian is, but you know, I think, is there a tendency to just want to kind of to have hands off of what's
That's exactly it, Shane. It's sort of a theology of disengagement relative to the political sphere and
right
so on.
And I think, you know, if a proper understanding of the church being salt and light, you know, makes one understand that we need to be involved in all areas of life because we're preservatives. I mean, if you take Christians out of government, you think things are bad now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I hate to see what happens if with no Christians involved. I mean,
well, Mike, I know I've heard you say more than once that this whole question is a bother. If I can steal your grandson's expression,
a bother.
It's a bother. It's a both and rather than an either or with respect to the spiritual and the common. So the idea is that we need to be concerned about the things that are happening in the church, and we need to be praying for revival. But that doesn't mean that we're under some obligation to engage the culture. These things are not mutually exclusive. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And during even the last election cycle, I saw a number of evangelicals give lip service to Romans 13. You know, God establishes government, you know, and then that's it, and now we go and do our thing. You know, Rutherford and Lex Rex makes it very clear that God establishes government in its root, and also the means by which each one's brought into power. And so the people make the king, and so we have a duty, fifth commandment, regarding those that would rule over us.
Hey, thank you so much for your time. We're out of time. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news segment, otherwise affectionately known as News You Can Use. First up from Politico. Senator Jim Inhofe on Sunday slammed Hillary Clinton's hypocrisy for how she has responded to leaked video from 2005 of Donald Trump saying lewd and sexually aggressive comments. Quote, "What Trump said about a married woman 10 years ago is disgusting, and I do not support women being talked about in such vile ways. But he pivoted immediately to attacking the Democratic nominee, writing, quote, "The hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton to criticize Trump's past is equally disturbing as her personal failings involved expensive, well-coordinated campaigns to bully and degrade women," unquote. Clinton herself has not commented on the footage that sparked scores of Republicans to abandon Donald Trump. The closest she has come to commenting was a tweet on late Friday, but the missive lacked the H signature that usually denotes the former Secretary of State's own words. For such a massive moment in the campaign, Clinton has been notably silent. You think? Wonder why. In her absence, her allies have weighed in, including her running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, who said the video makes him sick to my stomach, and Vice President Joe Biden, who said Trump's comments are not only lewd, but rather a confession of sexual assault.
I think Vice President Joe Biden knows a little bit about that, Mr. Hansy. Have you not seen pictures of him?
Yeah. But I think I think the guys that were epic about that kind of thing, and you know, they pull a big drunk and be, you know, hands all over the waitresses and stuff. I think that was Ted Kennedy and what was the guy who was neck deep in the financial crisis?
I don't remember.
Christopher Dodd.
Oh.
Yeah, those two guys were legendary.
Yeah, but I've seen all sorts of pictures of him, you know, hands on, arm around somebody, and they're just like,
yeah, they're just grimacing. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's not just crazy Uncle Joe, he's kind of creepy Uncle Joe too.
Inhofe alleged that Clinton saw no need to apologize to victims of her husband and instead tried to quote, "bury their stories and destroy their reputations," unquote.
Yeah.
And he's right.
He is right.
He's right. Okay, next up from
U.S. They're both despicable.
They're both despicable.
Page two.
Yeah. Ron Carlson's gone Paul Harvey on us, folks. Next up from USA Today. Every day this week, WikiLeaks has released hacked emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta. There have been no major bombshells so far, but there are emails that reflect poorly on the campaign and raise questions about relationships with people outside the Brooklyn headquarters. While the Clinton campaign is not confirming the authenticity of the emails, it maintains the hack was done by the Russians to aid Donald Trump.
Of course.
The Trump campaign, meanwhile, has jumped on the leaked emails, and the Republican nominee has been bringing them up on the campaign trail. Here are two of the most talked about emails. Center for American Progress fellow John Halpin and communications director Jennifer Palmieri had some negative things to say about Catholicism and evangelical Christians. Quote, "Many of the most powerful elements of the conservative movement are all Catholic. It's an amazing bastardization of the faith. They must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of Christian democracy," Halpin wrote. "I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable political conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand it if they became evangelicals," Palmieri responded. This is dripping with arrogance.
And ignorance.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on here. Brian Fallon, Clinton's press secretary, and the former director of the DOJ's Office of Public Affairs emailed that he had heard, quote, from DOJ folks, unquote, there would be a status hearing regarding public release of Clinton's State Department emails. Quote, DOJ folks inform me there is a status hearing in this case this morning, so we could have a window into the judge's thinking about this proposed production schedule as quickly as today, Fallon wrote. While the statement took place before the FBI's investigation into her private email server, it raises questions about the relationship between the campaign and the DOJ. Uh-huh, it surely does. Mm-hmm. Trump and Republicans have excoriated DOJ's decision not to pursue charges over Clinton's private email server, even though the FBI recommended no charges. There was communication going back and forth between them and the DOJ.
Yep.
There's absolutely no way to deny it. There it is.
Crazy.
Next up from the Daily Caller. The decision at the FBI not to prosecute Hillary Clinton over her mishandling of classified information was solely from the top down, a source told Fox News. Quote, no trial level attorney agreed. No agent working the case agreed with the decision not to prosecute. It was a top down decision, unquote, said the source, who is described as an official close to the Clinton case. The FBI official said that Director James Comey's announcement on July 5th angered and disgusted members of the investigative team, which included over 100 FBI agents and analysts who worked overtime with six DOJ attorneys from the department's National Security Division and Counterespionage Section. Quote, it is safe to say the vast majority felt she should be prosecuted, unquote.
If it was a Marine who did what she did, he would be court-martialed.
If it was anybody,
yeah,
they'd be behind bars already.
And Donald Trump has promised if he wins the presidency, which might be the sole thing that could be a glowing star of him being president, is that she'll be in jail.
But listen to this. Quote, it was safe to say the vast majority felt she should be prosecuted, the senior FBI official told Fox News, noting that it was, quote, unanimous, unquote,
wow,
that they all wanted Clinton's security clearance yanked. That part was unanimous. Think about that.
Even the ones
that didn't want to pursue the indictment wanted her security clearance yanked.
And that
unbelievable.
First of all, that's the minimum thing that should happen. If she wins the presidency, how does that work?
Precisely.
You can't keep the president out of the loop.
But think what this says, that there was unanimity amongst these investigators to say, look,
yeah,
I don't care if she's running for president or not. This woman's got to have her security clearance yanked.
Right. I'm surprised she still has security clearance on. Well, I guess once she became the nominee, she got classified briefings.
And I mean, at the end of the day, this is all about failure to have the intestinal fortitude or testosterone or spine or whatever you want to call it to indict this woman.
Right.
That's what it had nothing to do with the evidence. Last up from CNN. Well, at least we won't be seeing one creepy clown so much. We talked about this off the air last week, but we wondered what kind of impact this clown business was having on McDonald's. Here it is. McDonald's announced Monday that Ronald McDonald is going on the down low. His appearances will be limited due to the rise in clown-related disturbances in the U.S. and more recently, around the world.
Crazy.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you, social media.
Are you creeped out by clowns?
I am.
This might be why.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Around the world. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Uptown,
down home, American kids. That person brings out the worst in me. I never act like this with anyone else. Sound familiar? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Many want to know how some people know how to push their buttons. But the more helpful questions to answer are, who gave them access to their buttons? And what makes those buttons work? Too often, we fail to look at ourselves when someone provokes a response from us that we do not like. We are fixated on blaming them for being good at bringing out the bad in us. But where does that bad come from? The Bible says that it is our sinful desires that keep conflict going. Could it be that the button pusher might actually help you see what is really on the inside? If someone's pushing your buttons, why don't you take the time to stop by our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications LLC, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415 Communications or give me a call at 515-321-5077. And also, if you're listening to the show and it's almost 9 o'clock, this is the home stretch.
Head to the Lions Club.
Yep.
Johnston Iowa.
Lions Club on Merle Hay Road, the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing. We're going to start checking people in probably here in a few minutes. So it starts at 10 o'clock. So anyway, you can still come.
There's still time.
At the door registration. We can't guarantee lunch, but there's restaurants right around there, too.
Actually, we're going to try.
We're going to try to guarantee lunch. So anyway, we'll make sure you don't go hungry.
Get on over there.
Some former fashion.
Quick, fast, yep. Run. And now we've come to Ron's favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of yourself again, aren't you, Ron?
Well, I can't be accused of being late now, can I?
All right, this one is from Reuters. A Kansas man robbed a bank last week in order to go to jail and avoid his wife.
What? Oh, man.
Lawrence John Ripple, 70 years of age, told his wife following a fight on Friday that he'd rather be in jail than at home. After writing a note stating that he had a gun and wanted money, Ripple walked to a bank in Kansas City, Kansas, and handed it to the teller. The teller gave him nearly $3,000. Instead of making a hasty getaway from the Brotherhood Bank and Trust branch, Ripple took a seat in the lobby and admitted to a security guard that he was the suspect.
I'm the guy.
And guess what? He was taken into custody.
Shocker.
The money was returned to the bank. The cause of Ripple's fight with his wife was not detailed in court documents, and no lawyer was listed for him. Ripple was no longer at the, I never can say this, the Wyandotte County Detention Center in Kansas City, Kansas, on Wednesday, according to the center's website. A spokesman for the county sheriff's office said he was moved to a federal facility in Leavenworth.
Wow.
Did they put this guy in Leavenworth?
And
are
he,
you kidding
and he
me?
He didn't run away. They got the money back. Yeah. Wow.
Hammer down on a guy that the only reason
and he's 70 years old.
Whoa. Efforts to reach Ripple's wife were not immediately successful.
She's probably happy he's there.
No doubt.
Oh, gracious.
I wonder if
drastic action.
Did he actually have a gun?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know.
Now, if he was armed, he would have been better off saying, I have a gun and not having a gun. Because then I don't know if you could technically call that armed robbery.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head. This guy ends up in Leavenworth.
I would just about federal guess he facility. Didn't have a gun.
I think he needs to be checked into a mental health facility.
Well, maybe that will be the defense, you know, that it, when it comes to trial.
Who wants to be in prison rather than at home?
Well, apparently Mr. Ripple did.
Wish granted.
How bad could it have been? And here's the other thing. Didn't the guy just pull a big drunk and walk into the police station with his underwear?
Likely with 7-year-old, they'll bounce him. He'd probably get booked and then they would release him.
Oh, so he was looking for something more permanent.
That was
long term.
And I'm shocked too, because Leavenworth is a prison. Yeah. They might have detention facilities for people going through court. But the guy hasn't been convicted, so he should be in a county jail right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know is Leavenworth is not my idea of a good place to be.
Been by there. Yeah, would not want to reside there. So
send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com, and we'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
See you next week, everybody.
Take care. Have a good one. Get over to the Lions Club.